Hey everyone, just a quick disclaimer before we start this episode of the Vet Tech Tap Room. We realize just talking about this issue might be controversial and ruffle some feathers. However, we are simply having a discussion about it. We don't want this to come off like we're taking sides on the issue because we see very valid points on both sides of it. We've already gotten a lot of feedback from simply announcing that we recorded this episode, and we're anticipating even more feedback after you've listened to it. We're here to encourage discussion and to get people involved in these issues. That's why we started this podcast in the first place. If you'd like to reach out to us, you can message us through any of our social media accounts or email us directly at vettechcafe@gmail.com. Thanks a lot.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for coming by the Vet Tech Tap Room. We're going to switch it up today and switch from coffee to beer. Dave, what are you drinking down there?
I am having, I just got this last night. It's from Aviator, and Aviator is a brewery that's local down here in North Carolina. It's called a Mezzanotte. It is a porter brewed with coffee and vanilla. I've never had it before, and I'm going to take my first sip right now.
That sounds really good. That sounds really good. I've got a...
Oh, that is good.
Nice, nice. Of course, I've got a stout from Treehouse that I'm cracking open. And as it's 10:15 in the morning, as we're doing this, thankfully, our bar opens early.
Well, I was thinking last night we recorded a Vet Tech Cafe episode, and we were drinking coffee at 9 p.m., and here we are at the tap room drinking beer at 10 a.m. So yeah. We probably did these in the wrong order. We should have done the tap room last night in the cafe this morning, but what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, if you start your day with a good beer, just like how bad can it be?
Well, didn't you say this was a breakfast stout? So technically breakfast for you.
It's called Fleeting Moment. It's got a lot of maple syrup in it, two different types of cinnamon, some coffee, and some chocolate. It basically tastes like French toast.
Oh, yeah. Remember we had that French toast... I was down here when you came to visit down North Carolina.
Yeah, it was when I was down that way. Yeah. I don't remember which. I think it was at that tap room. But it was really good. So and I have a cup of coffee too. Let's be honest. But I am drinking this breakfast stout as
well. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers to you. And you know, thinking about this, you know, we got a lot to talk about today. I know we kind of want to talk about some of the NAVTA stuff and some other stuff. So I say let's just dive right in.
Well, and we said this is what we're going to do with this tap room is when something jumps up and it needs to be discussed right now. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it right now and kind of in the moment and not wait for, you know, an episode to come around and say, hey, let's put this in at the very beginning and then go on from there. I think this topic kind of needs its own episode, and I feel like we're doing right by it.
Yeah. What we really want to talk about today is the NAVTA thing, the VNI. A lot of traffic online about this topic, and we've kind of touched on this in a couple of different episodes. We had Ed Carlson on the show, who as of January 1st is the president-elect of NAFTA, and he gave us, I thought, a lot of really cool statistics about the individuality of states and the different credentials that exist and the different licensing requirements that exist and a lot of those kind of things. And there's so many different things that we can talk about, but what has kind of been going around a lot this week is the petition to kind of, hopefully, I think the goal is to open up more of a discussion with NAVTA about the VNI from people who don't necessarily support it.
Right.
You know, one thing that actually kind of sticks out to me is there are a lot of points that I think they actually line up on. And as you were saying off air, the big thing that I think the dissenter is really the title itself. Right.
The letter, as we were reading through, like one of the big things is that the term nurse has been a stumbling block of that's why things aren't going forward, because they're struggling over the name of the nurse. You know, I was thinking earlier this morning that we want title protection for a title that we don't have legal ownership of. So they want title protection for registered veterinary nurse. However, nurse is already a protected title in, 39 out of 50 states?
Yeah.
So we want protection for a title that's not ours. So, that point I do agree with. And in that letter that they drafted, and I think we should go ahead and name the three people.
Yeah.
Natalie Pedraja.
Yeah.
Mandy Helton and Charlotte Wack are the three people that are listed as having drafted this letter. And, you know, it we're going to go through this letter and kind of talk about all the different talking points. Yeah. But the first one is obviously the nurse title change. As we were talking about this before, you know, we've talked about this off air. We've talked about this on the show of, I don't care what you call me. But
just
everyone
don't call
should
me
have
late
this,
for dinner.
Yeah. But everyone should have the same education. Everyone should have the same. It should be universal across the country. You know, we can talk about different countries as well. But for this particular topic, I feel like having everything be the same in this country on what we are, I think is really important, because, you know, there's certain things that when I was in New Hampshire, I could take teeth out because it wasn't written into the Practice Act that I couldn't. And down here in North Carolina, that's a definite no-no. I'm not allowed to do that. There's a lot of things in this letter that I think have really good points. In the grand scheme of things, I think about the Vet Nurse Initiative and I think, yeah, this is a great idea. However, if there's one point that is holding up the works, I think we need to kind of redirect and say, okay, maybe this isn't the best way to approach it. And NAFTA has recently come out with a response letter. I think they're just basically responding to the social media backlash for this.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I think that's one area, and I think a huge take-home point of this petition for me is they're trying to open a dialogue with NAFTA.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I will say that the opposition to the VNI is much louder on social media than NAFTA is at trying to garner support for the VNI.
Right.
And, you know, I think that those posts that came out are in response, very much in direct response to this petition. You know, I think a lot of people, when they comment on posts or whatever, they ask actual direct questions and they just left, they get left unanswered.
Right.
And I think if NAFTA really wants to get people on board with what they're trying to do with the VNI, somebody needs to be monitoring a lot of these posts and actually answer direct questions and engage in an online forum. Like, I realize that's a dumpster fire waiting to happen because
you
cannot resolve anything on Facebook.
No.
But actions speak louder than words, and sometimes by inaction, you know, that speaks just as loudly. And you know, when I look at my job right now, I'm an ICU technician. 100% of my job is nursing patients. I don't take x-rays anymore. I don't anesthetize animals. I don't clean teeth. I legitimately 100% of my job is nursing patients back to health to leave hospital.
Right.
So I look at my individual job and I feel like, yes, I am a veterinary nurse. That is 100% what I do. Right. I realize I am a very small swath of what our profession does and what a veterinary technician is. And so many people, especially those that work, you know, even in general practice or emergency, where they're doing all of those different facets of veterinary medicine, inducing anesthesia or cleaning teeth or doing client communication or all of those things. Yes, your job is far more than being a nurse, but there are those of us where I look at my job and I say 100%, that is what I do. And the legislative process, and Ed kind of talked about this when we had him on the show, is slow.
No, yeah, it's ridiculously slow.
It's ridiculously slow. And a lot of, you know, it's well documented that the VNI has failed in 5 states. And I think a lot of people cling to the VNI failing in 5 states and say there's no support for it. Well, to kind of describe the legislative process, what they're trying to do gets attached to some bill that's already before the state legislature. And lobbyists say, well, we think this bill has a good chance of passing, so let's tag on to this bill. And hopefully it'll be heard in this legislative cycle because we believe these legislators will actually pass the bill based on these other things.
Right.
And then things get delayed, things get changed, and the bill fails. And it's not necessarily that the VNI failed. It could be that, absolutely, but it could also be whatever bill, some major other point that has nothing to do with veterinary medicine in that state legislature is why the VNI failed in that particular state. And the other thing I think is that regardless of whether we go for a unified title of veterinary nurse or veterinary technician or some other term, sometimes I think, like, what is the best term for us? Well, should we just call ourselves veterinary patient advocates? Like, that means nothing.
Right.
But that's like 100% of what we do is advocating for our veterinary patients. Like whatever it is that we call us, we're still, this is still going to be not only a multi-year, but probably a multi-decade process to go into the state legislature of 50 states, you know, as Ed talked about, and even that's in this petition, the variability among states to get into 50 state practice acts, even if you take away the nursing title, to try to get all of this stuff unified across 50 states. Like, I don't care what the title is, it's going to take 25 years.
Yeah.
There is no way it's going to be faster than that. And I don't really care this is fixed by 2021, 2025. Like, this might not be fixed till 2045.
Yeah.
But I strongly feel like, again, going into the practice acts of 50 states, we are going to have one shot at this. Creating the title, at getting standardization of education and credential requirements and all of the other things that the VNI is trying to do, including a title, I feel like we have one shot.
I'm going to be a little bit ignorant here. When we're talking about the human side of things, doctors and nurses, are those controlled state to state, or is that a national thing? Or do you know the
titles themselves?
Right. Like, or just their credentialing or their requirements for CE, all that stuff. Does the state control that, or is it a federal thing that's controlling nurses and doctors?
I'd be guessing. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Because I wonder if that's my thought, is that what if we just take this out of the hands of the state, and that way it's, you don't have to go state to state. It becomes a national thing. It becomes a federal thing. But I think that's probably just as equally as large of a task.
Yeah, I think largely it's left up to the states, but there's a lot of uniformity to that.
Well, I think we just need to figure out a way to get uniformity. Human nurses don't have these issues, to my knowledge.
And you know, there's an NCLEX exam, a national examination. Yeah. And yes, like, there is still variability in terms of like applying to the state. And you know, I think that's fine. If an individual state wants to have an individual state exam based on their laws and regulations and what have you, like, fine, so be it. But I have this ideal in my head that at some point, and again, this is probably 50 years or more down the road, but that every veterinary technician and whatever the title is at that time, hopefully there's a standardized title.
Right.
But at some point down the road, every credentialed veterinary technician in the United States of America has gone through the same type of education.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same title. They've gone through the same education. They maybe have the same CE requirements, have the same responsibilities wherever they live, and they can freely move state to state. Again, apply for a license in this individual state, but they've gone through the same process. And, you know, I think ultimately that kind of mindset is what the VNI is, and certainly it's called the Veterinary Nurse Initiative, and the title veterinary nurse is the big sticking point, but I know it has all of those other goals. I think, you know, one thing that is one of the points of the petition is it's not implicitly laid out in the VNI is reciprocity and going state to state, and I think it's kind of implied there, maybe not. I think that would be absolutely a big thing. You and I have moved around a little bit, not a lot. I came from California. I work in Massachusetts, but live in Rhode Island. But I was able to apply for reciprocity in Massachusetts because Massachusetts says, as long as you've been licensed in some other state and have taken the VTNE, we can credential you. But it's a voluntary, like a CVT in Massachusetts, honestly, holds no weight. Like it's voluntary through the Vet Tech Association. I wouldn't be brought before the Veterinary Medical Board. Whereas in California, my license is issued by the California Veterinary Medical Board. I could be brought before the board for disciplinary action.
Mm-hmm.
So many of those things, you know, have to be ironed out. And again, this is not going to be a 5-year project, a 10-year project. I think, maybe once we gain some momentum and, you know, a few states kind of jump on board, then maybe a few others, and hopefully, you know, it can get steamrolling a little bit. But, you know, like you said, I think if the title is the big sticking point, then we need to look at that.
So just looking at this petition, one of the things that I really want to drive home about this is that the title of this petition says we want to urge NAFTA to reevaluate the VNI, not get rid of it, not do away with it, but to reevaluate it, which I think is really important. And as I'm looking at it now, it says 782 people have signed it, and it was drafted or submitted on February 25th, and today is the 29th. So this has been 4 days. And you and I have seen this like all over everyone's page.
Yeah.
And there's how many points are there?
I think nine
points. So we've kind of talked about the first one. The first one is redirecting our focus away from the title change. Part two is requesting an open dialogue with NAFTA. And we kind of touched on that as well, is that there's so much media backlash from, or social media backlash for this. And I want to say a day or two after all this sort of blew up, NAFTA did post a response, just kind of state their position. But as you said, a lot of the stuff that happens that, you know, people make comments on their page and there's not really any response to it. And it kind of just makes it seem like their voices aren't being heard, which I think that's what part two of this document is, or this page is, that they want to have a dialogue with them and kind of discuss these things instead of, because, you know, petitions do great, gets everyone involved, gets everyone kind of riled up about things. But half the time, does it really change anything? Not often. Right. But having an open dialogue with NAFTA would maybe get things kind of rolling in the right direction, and saying that, okay, maybe it's not just this small faction of people. Maybe there's a lot more things that we need to reevaluate and maybe refocus our efforts towards the other things that are involved in VNI, as opposed to just pushing VNI or the nurse title through everything. And that's not the main thing. Cause you know, you and I have both said that most of the stuff in the VNI, we agree 100% with, but as far as the title change, that doesn't really affect me at all. I don't feel like, call me a technician, call me a nurse, call me a veterinary patient advocate, whatever, I'm still going to do the same job. Getting through that is kind of one of the things I think they really need to focus on right now.
Right. And, you know, again, as I said, like, I think, you know, in my job, I feel like 100% I'm a nurse. Certainly I've held positions throughout my career that I think, I do a lot more than that. And if this wasn't called the Veterinary Nurse Initiative, if this was the Veterinary Standardization Initiative.
Oh, yeah.
And just part of it was, you know, changing to a unified title, and we propose veterinary nurse, you know, would this have more support? Because it's the Veterinary Nurse Initiative, and a lot of people oppose the name. And I think there's a lot of people out there, you know, obviously not anybody that's read this petition, but I think there's a lot of people out there that think this is solely a name change.
Yeah.
And because of the title Veterinary Nurse Initiative, they think it's solely to change the title to veterinary nurse, and don't realize that it actually wants to accomplish a whole bunch of other things and things that actually line up really closely with what this petition is talking about. And you know, one thing I think there's a little bit of discrepancy is the idea of reciprocity. And again, while it's not fully implicit in the VNI, I guess when I look at it, I would hope that when there is a much more standardized process to become licensed in terms of education and get relicensed, that would kind of naturally happen. But it isn't 100% explicitly included in there. And is that part of the goal? And in my mind, when I think about this petition asking NAFTA to reevaluate the VNI, you know, I know this has been worked on in some capacity for several years now. And maybe behind closed doors, NAFTA has looked at it and said, yes, this is still what we want to do. But have they looked at it and said, you know, it's been 10 years now, like, do all of these things still apply to what we want to do?
And
you know what, we didn't really explicitly say reciprocity. Is our goal to accomplish that, and should we add in reciprocity? And I think, again, that's where people are getting frustrated, is that, you know, maybe these discussions are being had, they're just not being had in an open or public forum, and people just feel out of the loop and they don't know what's going on. So, you know, here we are.
Well, it almost seems like the NAFTA kind of decided, hey, this is what we want to do, and didn't really, like, I don't know what caused the creation of this initiative. Like, I don't know if it was there a large group of people, or was it just one committee on NAFTA that said, hey, let's have this veterinary nurse initiative, and didn't really get any input from technicians, because I don't remember any kind of input from me or from anyone that I knew about going forward with this. It was just sort of one day it was out there, and they said, oh, we're going to be doing this. And I don't know if there was a committee that decided, hey, let's get a poll from people and figure out exactly what we want to do with this. So it gives, maybe this is just my ignorance, but it appears to me that somebody decided that, hey, this is what we want to do, and didn't really get any input from actual technicians to say, yes, this is actually what we want.
Right.
And that's kind of point, was that point three? So point four is they would like NAVTA to encourage unlicensed veterinary assistants to participate in the discussion of VNI, especially those that are NAVTA members, because assistants can also be members of NAVTA. And I think it's more a concern about assistants using that technician title, because, you know, you and I were both called technicians when we first started, even though we had no right to that title. You know, I'm not sure exactly what they want us to, what they want NAVTA to do about that. Do they want them to penalize them, or I guess I don't understand exactly what they want them to do.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when I think about California, because we have title protection in place in California, and it's, you know, I think about, especially like we talked a lot of, you know, the last few weeks about the fee increases in California, and a lot of people proposed one way that they could make up whatever budget deficit there was actually enforcing title protection and having monetary fines to hospitals that don't follow the rules. And it's kind of hard in a clinic environment if somebody refers to a technician that is, you know, an unregistered assistant, but when they're listed on a website, say, where it's actually documented, you know, this is our technical staff, or this is our nursing staff, or, you know, whatever it is, and those people actually aren't credentialed, you know, it's okay. Call them veterinary assistants and call them veterinary technicians. And then if somebody asks, well, what's the difference, then educate them on it.
Yeah.
And so, again, kind of hoping that, you know, looking at a national standardization, and when we talk about title protection and that's how it's going to have to be, is somebody actually looking at some of this stuff or getting complaints from people in clinics or whatever it may be, and actually like looking into this and then basically sending a cease and desist letter to that clinic and saying like, look, you are referring to these people as titles.
They're not,
and they're those titles are protected, and you have 90 days or whatever to correct this problem. If not, then you will begin to accrue fines or whatever it is. And that honestly is what it's going to take.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
one thing
I'm interested in is it's come out the last couple of years, and I wouldn't say Tufts has adopted the title by any stretch, but I know other veterinary colleges and vet schools in the U.S. have started to refer to their people as veterinary nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's that whole client perception that they understand the term nurse. So they say the nursing staff, the veterinary nurses. And again, that's a title that we're not privy to use. But what I found interesting is point seven says we request that NAVTA stops encouraging colleges, state associations, corporations, et cetera, to use that title. And I've really never known that to be the case. And if that is the case, then that is absolutely a mistake. I always just kind of assumed these organizations or these institutions kind of took that on in their own right. And if that is being like supported by or encouraged by NAVTA, then I do think that is a mistake. But
when I'm talking to my students, I say when you get a job as a veterinary technician, I don't use the term nurse.
Right.
Even though the job that I work at, we refer to ourselves as nurses.
Right.
Which, you know, whether that's right or wrong, obviously this is something that this document is trying to stop, because you're right. We don't have right to that title right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I think big point in this for me is that it's the education of these veterinary students that are going to become veterinarians. When I look at what we do at Tufts, our students, in my opinion, when they graduate, they have absolutely no idea how an actual veterinary practice functions. The roles of the staff, what it means to be a veterinary assistant, what it means to be a veterinary technician, what it means to be a receptionist, what a kennel attendant looks like. They have no clue of any of that. And granted, when I think about their veterinary education, like they shouldn't have to take a course on how to use your staff appropriately.
Yeah.
But I also feel like they should have to take a course on how to use your staff appropriately
and how to
integrate yourself and what actually makes this person that is a veterinary assistant different from this person as a veterinary technician. And there's so much state-to-state variability, you know.
Tufts, well, that's probably private, why they don't do that. That's probably,
right. And Tufts is a private institution. Granted, we're in Massachusetts, but we get students from all over the country.
Yeah.
And we can't just teach them how it is in Massachusetts. And we also can't teach them how it is in all 50 states.
Right.
And so it's this conundrum, but then, you know, they're also performing as students a whole lot of veterinary technician or veterinary assistant tasks. And it's, And I kind of want to say, like, get out of here. Like, go learn how to be a doctor. Don't learn how to be a veterinary technician. Like, this is my job.
And I would do that a lot with interns. Yeah.
Right. When you get out into practice, like, you're going to, especially if you ever think about practice ownership, like, you're going to be paying somebody else to perform that task. Like, go talk to the people and do the things that law says I can't do and that you can only do. And so when I think about this point six here about, you know, other organizations and institutions that have adopted this title, you know, so much of this, I think, actually starts when so many of these veterinarians are students about what these roles actually are. And then maybe they can even go out into the world and educate a practice that they get hired onto and say, you're doing this wrong. Like, this isn't actually what the law says or, you know, what titles are. Like, let's evaluate that and call people what they're entitled to be called.
Well, and then it kind of goes, you're right. It goes back to veterinary school, where if they don't know what technicians do, then how are they supposed to behave like in clinics when they actually get out of school? Like that is, it's got to be really confusing for them to say that. And, you know, and sometimes they, interns will come in and, you know, we'll be doing all the technician stuff and they're like, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Or, but, you know, you get the other end of the spectrum. It's like, oh, actually, I really like doing this.
Yeah.
Like, can I do it? And it's like, no,
no,
no.
That's my job.
This is not your job. Like, go away.
Go do doctor stuff. When I worked at a practice that had, we had interns, that was one of my most common phrases is go do doctor stuff.
Right. Right. It's true.
We kind of skipped over point number five.
Oh, yeah.
Is that they would like NAVTA to prioritize task designation for to protect our skills, our patients, and increase the value of our profession as veterinary technicians.
Yeah.
And credentialed veterinary technicians should have a clear job description that is standardized across the country, which I think is one of those things where it sounds like a really daunting task, but it should be really easy to go through because we have the CVTEA, which is the Committee on Veterinary Technician Education. I don't remember what the A is, but it's a list of skills that as we're going through our classes and teaching our classes and teaching skills to these tech students of making sure that we're teaching them all the things that are on this list. So these are all skills that, you know, I need to look at my lesson plans and say, am I teaching them something that they need to know? And it would be very easy to just take that task list of all the skills that we're supposed to be teaching veterinary technicians and don't have that be the end all be all, but have that be the base of, yes, they need to know how to take temperatures, need to know how to listen to hearts. They need to know how to place catheters, draw blood. But some of the things that are not on there and things that I'm not tasked at teaching my students is more advanced skills like jugular catheters, urinary catheters, things like that are not explicitly said on this CVTEA list of things that we need to teach our students, but they're things that do fall under the scope of what our practice is. And I feel like we could use that as a base and just say, okay, we're going to add on this, we're going to add on this. And these are all the things that technicians should be allowed to do. And that would be so easy to just come up with a skills list of everything that veterinary technicians do. I mean, it's going to be a very long, extensive list.
Sure.
However, we've already have some of that stuff in place. We just have to adapt it.
Yeah. And again, I think, you know, especially when I think about rural America, when I was in Orange County, California, like this part of America didn't exist because it was a concrete jungle for 200 miles. But I think there are a lot of veterinarians that graduate and they go out into practice and maybe they have one staff member.
Yeah.
And literally they do all of these things as the veterinarian.
Yep.
You know, where do we fit into that? Or how do we educate that out of graduating veterinarians that like, have a staff member, have a veterinary technician that can do these things. And, you know, a scope of practice and the idea of a job description that is standardized across the country. As you said, I think it's easy to do, but it's also easy not to do because there are, whether we want to admit it or not, there will be sectors that it just is not going to apply to, unfortunately. Right. Or there are going to be, for the next 50 years, there will be a group of practitioners that will say, oh, I don't need to do that. Why am I going to pay somebody to do that?
Yeah.
When I can just take the extra time and do it myself. And that's just the mentality. And that's part of what needs to change.
But that has also changed over time. Cause I remember back when I first started, I remember it was a big deal when the doctor that we were working with, Dr. Tucker, was finally allowing technicians to actually intubate patients. You know, before that, before surgeries, he would do all the intubating and you know, the staff said, you know, we can do this stuff. We don't, mm-hmm. you don't have to do all this. So I do feel like that has changed. And I wonder if over time, I mean, obviously it's not going to happen in the next 5 years, but over time, as these old school vets kind of get phased out, as they get older and older and, you know, leave the profession, eventually some of those things that as technicians that we do, that's going to be more standardized and more normal for us to do and not have to actually fight for the right to do it. I do think eventually that is going to work itself out.
I hope so. And I guess I just kind of going back to my point about educating veterinary students,
yeah.
is are we actually educating that out of veterinary medicine and teaching the future generations of veterinarians to utilize their staff for what they're trained to do and understand what they can and can't do and so on and so forth.
Point number 7. So it says we would like NAV to refocus and prioritize their effort in states which do not recognize credentialed technicians. Without the inclusion of veterinary technicians in every state's practice act, it will be tremendously difficult to establish a national level of protection. So this is basically going after those states that don't have credentialed technicians and try to get them on the State Practice Act. And, you know, you and I talked about this before, is that, you know, we may have one shot to get all these things done.
Yes.
So opening up
yeah.
these practice acts, we need to get all this done all at once. So it's going to yeah. be a huge task to actually get all this done.
Right. And I think for me, this petition, the VNI, I think that's one message I really want to get out to people listening, is that it is no small task.
No, it's huge.
To get into every individual state's legislature with any sort of schedule or momentum and make this stuff happen. Like, knowing the little bit that I do about how things have gone in California in terms of like our alternate route type of education and a bunch of different matters before our veterinary medical board that we've tried to get into legislature, for small things, it has been a multi-year process. Like
yeah.
to me, when I think about the VNI, and again, even taking the term veterinary nurse out of it,
right.
all of the other stuff that this petition is asking for and that the VNI is looking at, to me, from right now in 2020, I see this as no less than a 20-year project,
yeah.
legitimately,
yeah.
because there are other pressing points that are going to come up in the next 20 years that we can't even fathom right now that is just going to push this further down the list. To be able to get state legislatures to be open to this idea and why it matters to us, like, it cannot be the very small NAVTA executive board. And we were kind of looking at this off air, is how many members does NAVTA actually have
right.
versus how many credentialed veterinary technicians and number of unregistered assistants are there in the United States. Like, this has to be several thousand, tens of thousands of
yeah.
members coming to you and saying, this has to change. This is where we are. This is where we want to get to. And this is why.
Right.
To me, this is no sooner than from now, 20 years away, just
yep.
thinking about how the legislative process works and the idea of trying to get into these practice acts. I cannot emphasize this enough, is the fact that this has failed so far in 5 states. I don't think that's necessarily the fault of NAVTA.
No.
I don't think that's the title veterinary nurse. I think that's just the way the legislative process and
yep.
politics works. Honestly, if all 5 of those states had been positive, I don't think we'd really necessarily be in any different place either. You know, if this had passed in all 5 states, because it still just takes that long.
Yeah.
And so, as I said earlier, I think we have one shot at this, and we have to get 100% right between NAVTA, between people that are signing this petition, exactly what the profession wants, and come together as tens of thousands of people, as a wave
yeah.
of veterinary technicians or veterinary nurses or whatever it is, come to each state as a wave and say, this is what we're doing. Make it happen.
And then the final point is requesting that NAVTA become transparent in financial and legal activity. So, you know, the finances part of it, I don't know that I agree with that fully, but the legal activities, it's not that they need to be transparent, but we need to know what's going on.
Agreed.
If we're, you know, we're paying our, like, how many organizations do you belong to that you pay dues to? And we don't always know everything that's going on with every little financial thing. That doesn't really resonate with me that much. But the legal activities, and it's not just that I need to be aware of it because I have a say about it, but I want to know what's going on. I want to be informed as to where are things, and not just candy coat it and say, well, it didn't work in this state and, you know, we're doing this and doing this, but just being aware that something's happening.
Right.
Just knowing that the VNI is there and not knowing exactly what's going on with it is not as helpful as, you know, suddenly there's a petition against VNI and then they respond to it. I'd rather know beforehand that this is what's going on and not just hearing the negative from this petition. I'd rather know from NAFTA and the VNI directly that this is what's going on and this is what's happening.
Yeah. And kind of to some of that, like I completely agree with you. The finances, like, sure, maybe make that a public document so that people that are interested, you know, can figure out a way to look and see, like, this is where your dues go and whatever else, fine, so be it. I'm not too hung up on that. But as you said, you know, keep people in the loop. And again, personally, I would post it on social media so that people can continue.
That's where more people are going to see it. Yeah.
The VNI, if nothing else, continue to post regular updates on your website. We had discussions about this and kind of thinking about this petition, say, you know what, we talked about reciprocity a few years ago and the reason we couldn't make it work is X, Y, and Z.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Don't just say it failed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Give us reasons and why.
Right. And
if you have them, sometimes we don't have the reasons.
Yeah. And just, I guess, as this petition, I think, largely calls for, just be a little bit more transparent in terms of what's being discussed, where things are at. I absolutely, you know, while there's, you know, individual parts of this I don't necessarily agree with, and I think you and I talked about this, that there's a lot that we agreed with the petition, but I personally didn't sign it.
Yeah, I haven't signed it yet because I haven't.
That doesn't
decided.
Mean that I won't.
Yeah.
But I would call NAFTA to be more transparent with what it is that they're doing and be more vocal about things that haven't worked out, why they haven't worked out.
Right.
Like, and there are people that want to know, and there are people that just want to say, I paid my dues, and what happens with it happens with it. And if I see it on Facebook, great. If not, it's like a forgotten thing that I don't really know anything about. But, you know, I think that's kind of where I stand on it. And we'll say this too more at the end. But I would say whether you are absolutely pro VNI and on NAFTA's executive board, or you are one of the authors of this petition, or you feel strongly about it, reach out to us. Let's some discussion. And honestly, we'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah.
Like, we can spend multiple episodes talking about this at different points in time and why things are going the way they're going, or why you believe the way you believe. And this is meant to be, like, you and I disagree, Dave, on some of these points, and we agree on a lot of others. This isn't meant to be like the Vet Tech Cafe thinks this or the Vet Tech Cafe thinks that. Like, no, this is my opinion. This is your opinion. Let's get some other people on here and talk about their opinions and why they're so passionate about
it. Well, and that's kind of why we're doing this, right? We said we want to bring topics like this to our listeners and be a medium and an opportunity to have discussion. So, you know, you and I are discussing this, and, you know, if other people have other things to say, obviously we welcome those opinions, and you know, we're not so set in our convictions about some of these points that we can't be swayed. You know, if people have good ideas that kind of counter what we were already thinking, then bring it to us and change our minds about some of these things if you feel that passionately about. And, you know, after we've gone through all this, there's a lot of comments from the people that have signed it. Some of the things that I highlighted was, this person just gave the initials NH, is that state-to-state reciprocity is a much higher priority. And it also says that although it does not affect me directly, it affects our team from being able to hire extremely qualified staff. So this is probably somebody that has, you know, a state license or state certification or registration. Yeah. You know, the fact that from people from other states can't get licensed or credentialed or registered, you know, that affects whether or not they move to that state. And when I came down here to North Carolina, because I'm an alternative route, I couldn't get my NCRVT, you know, and I called and talked to them and I said, hey, can, you know, I'm a VTS. Does that kind of give me an extra in? And they said, no, if you haven't gone to an accredited school, then they wouldn't even listen to me.
Right.
Credentialed up in New Hampshire, but there was state reciprocity, then yeah, I'd be an RVT here, but you know, there's not.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, is that, you know, I know in California, if you come from another state and you've been licensed in another state, you just have to have a letter of good standing that your license hasn't been brought before a state board, and you're good to get licensed in California. I had good luck, thankfully, coming to Massachusetts and getting reciprocity.
Yeah. Well, North Carolina has a state exam, which is basically just North Carolina laws. It's not it's not a clinical or a medical examination. It's just state laws. But they won't even allow me to sit for that exam.
Right. Thankfully, California just got rid of our state exam because it was an additional $300 for a 50-question exam on state laws. But I think reciprocity is going to be a huge thing going forward. And when we talk about the idea of this petition getting NAVTA to kind of reevaluate the VNI. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when maybe NAVTA started talking about the VNI behind closed doors, but didn't really announce it to the world saying, here we come, was reciprocity and moving state to state and continuing to pick up and move here and move there, was that as big of a thing as it is now? Like now it is so easy.
Yeah.
You know, and when I think about where I am in New England, I mean, I can drive 45 minutes in any direction and go through like five states.
Yeah.
Whereas where I was in California, it was 3 hours to the state line.
Right.
You know, I think a lot more people these days pick up and move than maybe they did 10 or 15 years ago. So, so reciprocity may be now more relevant than it was when they started talking about the VNI.
Yeah.
So I do think that ultimately I agree with a lot of this petition. One of the comments that really resonated with me comes from Nicole Brown, and I know her. She's from California.
Yeah.
And she says her RVT license in California is not recognized in Illinois, where she's lived for almost 2 years now. And the only way to get licensed there is to go back to school, probably an AVMA accredited school like you were talking about. So she went back to school, but she went back for human nursing. And so if reciprocity isn't a thing yet, or had been a thing, excuse me, she'd be getting her VTS instead. And she's sad that her career of veterinary medicine after 17 years is basically over. But as of next year, she's done. You know, I will say, as I've kind of done some online research the last week or two, I also know that changing careers after 10 or 15 years now is easier than it's ever been.
Right.
I don't necessarily, you know, Nicole, I absolutely do not disagree with what you're doing. I am sad for veterinary medicine to be losing another 17-year credentialed, well-educated, highly skilled, well-trained technician to human nursing. And I think that's just a very terrible reality. And with one probably not simple on paper, not simple in practice fix, could have been another technician for many, many more years to come. And I know she's not the only one. You're not the only one. I'm not the only one. Like there are thousands.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That fall into this boat. What are some of the other good comments?
This from Charlotte. I am signing because I would like to try to open the discussion with NAVTA and the VNI. I've tried as an individual, but have not really been heard. I feel it's better to try to work together than against each other. So, you know, that's kind of why this whole thing is taking place right now. Is that individually contacting them to open up a discussion is not working. And it's not just and I think the important thing to note here is that we're not trying to. I don't want to say we. Because we're not involved in this right now. But the whole point of this is not to dismantle the VNI, but to just have a discussion and say, hey, this isn't working. What can we do to help? What can we do to change things that may help it progress further in the legislature? Right. It's not just a open bashing and saying, this isn't working, so forget it. We're all done with it. I think a lot of people that are signing this petition are kind of in the same boat that we are, where there's a lot of good things about the VNI that we really like, but there are certain things that seem to be holding it back and certain things that we don't feel like are being addressed appropriately enough to try and refocus the attention on certain things to make it actually work. And like we said at the beginning, like the title change is one of the biggest detractors of the whole thing. And, you know, we were saying off air that, you know, we're looking for title protection for a title we don't have the right to. We're looking for title protection for the term nurse, and that term is already protected. So I understand the ANA being opposed to this because, you know, they're doing exactly what we want. We want title protection, but, you know, we can't get title protection for a title that's not ours.
Right. And, you know, again, excuse me, if not veterinary nurse, then we still need to have a unified title.
Right.
We have currently four in the United States and one state that still doesn't recognize. Is it RVT? Is it CVT? Is it LVT? Is it LVMT? Is it just VT? in California, we used to be AHTs, animal health technicians, yeah. before we adopted RVT. So if not veterinary nurse, we still need a unified title.
Yeah.
And is that just veterinary technician? Maybe. But again, for this entire initiative, okay, so scrap the term veterinary nurse, then what is the term?
Right.
Because we, to have all of this standardization, there still needs to be some other term, and I have not seen one term. And maybe, again, maybe it's just veterinary technician and not registered or certified or licensed.
Yeah, just veterinary technician. Yeah.
Just veterinary technician, whatever it might be. But we still have to have one standardized title. And I've seen many comments, you know, about doing things kind of in a more staged type of arrangement. And I would implore to those people, given the current legislative landscape, I think that's highly unrealistic. I think we legitimately have one shot
yep.
to get all of this stuff done. And it, frankly, for some states, it might even be, okay, let's just approve this and then they'll stop bothering us. we have literally one shot, I believe, yeah. to get all of these points done. And it has to be very organized. It has to be very well thought out. It has to be very well represented. And there has to be a huge amount of support yeah. behind it to actually make some of this stuff go. Yeah, it's no small feat, but I think it can be done. It's just, it's not going to be done in 2021. It's not going to yeah. be done in 2025. Yeah. And
well, is that, I guess the question is that a result of, like, is the outrage a result of the culture that is right now where we want everything immediately? We want
yeah,
everything
it's instant
right
gratification.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I you know, that might be part of it, but I do think there is a very tangible part that is like, you know, we feel like NAFTA doesn't hear us. We
yeah.
don't hear enough from NAFTA. This isn't like, I want this done today. This is like, we just want to do this right.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I think we should mention is that, you know, we've been talking a lot about the petition, but I feel like we should also, I don't want this to seem like a one-sided thing
right.
because NAFTA did make a post a couple of days after the petition kind of made its rounds through everyone's page. And they made a post that says, "We are aware of the recent social media postings regarding the VNI. We have reached out to the individual who started the petition as well as others to thank them for the opportunity to discuss the VNI." So it sounds like they're aware of what's going on and they're aware of the backlash that they're kind of getting and, you know, trying to get ahead of it. I think is really important for them to, I don't want to use the term to save face because I don't feel like that's fair to say right now, but in order to feel like this petition is being heard and these people are being heard, that they do want to get involved in these discussions. So I don't want it to feel like the masses are kind of opposing NAFTA and the VNI. I don't feel like that's what's going on right now. I feel like they just want, like we said, transparency. They want to be involved in the discussions about these things. So NAFTA has responded to it kind of in a broad term. And I hope that that's going to mean that there's going to be more discussion. I don't know where that discussion is going to take place. I don't know if yeah. there's going to be some type of open forum that happens either online or honestly, I don't know how they would do that, but to have some type of open forum where people can kind of discuss and have their concerns be voiced to make their intentions known and to kind of get involved in all this.
Yeah, you know, Dave, I got to admit, I kind of had the opposite reaction to that when I read that they responded to the individual that created the petition or what have you. I kind of thought, in my mind, I thought, are they reaching out to them to tell them to shut up? like are they actually saying, like, I would have much rather have seen a post say, "We've seen this petition online, there are a lot of valid points to it, and there are some things that are not directly addressed by the VNI. We are going to talk about it, and then we will, you know, get back to the public at large about what we've discussed that might be lacking from the VNI, and
yeah.
we'll have some open discussion." Like I would have rather have them have said, you know, "There are some valid points to this. We're going to discuss it amongst ourselves to make sure that we feel like we're not missing anything, that, you know, all these things are being considered, and then we will have like a more open discussion with you." But to say, like, we reach out to the person individually, I wonder, like, what was the tone of that message?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And again, like, transparency is what's really being questioned about NAFTA here, and that just kind of points to that a little bit more in my mind. Now, that's probably not the case, right? I mean,
right.
like, I know NAFTA didn't go to this person and say, "You must cease and desist." Like, I know that's not the case,
right.
but given the whole tone of this petition is about transparency and just opening a dialogue, and yet they kind of once again went behind closed doors.
That's a good, you make a good point. Yeah.
And I think ultimately people just want, like, frankly, have it out on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, so, make a show out of it, I guess.
So anyway, but I do want to say, you know, one of the things that we try to do with the Tap Room is talk about something positive that's going on in the profession. And we talked a little bit about this off air. But one thing I would say is when I look at the 8 points of this petition, realistically, other than the title itself, which of course is the title of the initiative, so we cannot make light of that.
Right.
I think there is actually a lot of unity between what this petition is looking for and what NAFTA is hoping to accomplish with the VNI. And I, regardless of what side of the fence that you're on, what you think about these individual points, I hope that that's not lost on everybody that's out there, that realistically, you might not agree with the term nurse, and that's fine. And of course, this is the Veterinary Nurse Initiative, and that is like the backbone of this whole thing. But the reality is that they're looking at standardization of education, of credentialing, of title, of all of that stuff. And there is actually a lot of unity laid out in these points of the petition that actually the VNI hopes to accomplish as well. And maybe they're just not getting their message across adequately to people. Maybe they're not being transparent enough. There's a lot of points that we could argue against that. But I actually think it's very positive that these are not 8 points in this petition completely 100% against the things that the VNI is trying to accomplish.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we tried to illustrate that, and I hope that we did. And I think that's actually one very positive takeaway from me, is that especially in today's world where if you're not for something, you are 100% against it. Even if there is really no opposing view, you are just 100%
against
it.
And I honestly don't think that's the case with this.
I don't think so either. Yeah. And I think, you know, these three women, I, you and I know Charlotte pretty well. Yeah. I must admit, I don't know Natalie or Mandy, and I would love to meet them and talk to them about this. I have great respect for Charlotte because I know her personally, and we'd love to have her on the show at some point. Based on what I see here, they are not against a lot of the things the VNI is for.
No, not at all.
They just want more information. They want more transparency. They want, a little bit more protections in certain areas. There is actually a lot of areas where these two things line up. And I don't want people out there to be like, yes, we're for the petition, or yes, we're for the VNI. Like it's not either or.
Right.
There is actually a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big points of this, is that it's not just, I don't think that anything in this petition is adding to the VNI. I think it's more, let's redirect our focus and let's focus more on these things as opposed to the title change.
Yeah, the only thing that seems like an add, quote unquote, if you will, would be the reciprocity thing, because I don't think that's explicitly laid out in the VNI.
Right.
I do think, based on the wording, that is kind of implied, but the term reciprocity isn't actually in there that I've seen.
Well, and I don't know exactly when the VNI was created, and that's something we could probably look up. But when it was created, was the term reciprocity even a thing?
Right.
Was this created before that was even in the lexicon of the culture?
Yeah, I think when we talked to Ed, I think he mentioned when they kind of started talking about this, and I don't remember when it was, but I would say it was about 10, give or take a couple of years ago that they started talking about this, but not necessarily like said to the public, here we are. But yeah, reciprocity, I think as we move forward, crossing state lines for your job will be more and more common. And, you know, Dave, you and I co-chair this year the AVECTIN.
You're right.
Credentialing committee, right? Like as it says in the application, you don't necessarily have to be credentialed in the state in which you work.
Right.
You just have to be credentialed in some
somewhere,
state.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really key point, because a lot of people aren't necessarily credentialed in the state in which they're working.
Yeah.
But they're able to hold a license somewhere.
Yeah.
And we still need to make that license carry weight.
Well, and that license, like you said, my license in New Hampshire, I still have to go through the whole process of getting CE and submitting resubmitting my application every year and doing all those things to maintain that certification. So it's not like I'm not doing these things. I still have to do all that stuff.
Yeah. I haven't lived in California in 4 years and I still maintain that license.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, knowing I'm going back sometime, the way their laws are written, I'm able to do that. And I think that's, again, as we said, like maybe that's something initially the VNI didn't necessarily look at too strongly, but in this reevaluation that this petition is calling for, like, can we simply add that in?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that would relieve a huge burden for a lot of people. So what else do you think? What other kind of like positive things can we look at?
Well, it's just discussion. You know, we talk about this a lot, is just opening up discussion and having conversations as opposed to just assuming that things are getting taken care of. Just the fact that people are talking about it and advocating for change and advocating for, you know, advancing our profession, I think is the big positive. And, you know, it may be seen as a negative because a petition kind of has a bad connotation of you're sure. against something. But I feel like this petition is more into opening conversations and being involved in the discussion of things where previously we weren't involved in the discussion. It was just the VNI is a thing that they're doing, and you know, we didn't really have any input on it. And I feel like doing this is going to create open avenues of conversation and get people more involved, and just this the social media part of it is going to get people that weren't fully aware of what was going on to be more aware of things and, you know, maybe get behind it. Because, you know, the VNI was not, they were never really super vocal, I think, on social media. There wasn't a whole lot of VNI posts. You know, I've seen, we have posters at work, but in terms of like their social media presence, it hasn't been huge. I think people are aware of it, but I think this petition has kind of created a chance to look at it and say, hey, there's more to this than just the name change. And I think that's the big takeaway for me, is that people are more focused on the other parts of the VNI as opposed right. to just, we're going to change everyone to nurses now.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head for me, is that whether you are in the camp that is pro petition, anti-VNI, VNI, whatever, I think everybody, and then this whole discussion is about trying to move the profession forward.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want that to get lost, that whether you're calling for more action from NAVTA or whether you are very much pro VNI as it stands and you want to be a veterinary nurse, I think both parties are very much pro moving the profession forward. And I really don't want that to be lost, because I think that's a good thing.
That's a good point.
And there really is a lot of overlap to these two things. And let's just keep moving forward.
Yep.
And I want to take a quick minute too, because, you know, as I said a minute ago, you and I co-chaired this year the Avectin credentialing committee, and letters of approval just went out.
Yes.
Last night, Andrea Steele posted online. So just a couple of quick numbers, and you gave these to me off air because I didn't have them in front of me. But for those that aren't aware, the Avectin, the Academy of Veterinary Emergency and Critical Care Technicians and Nurses, because we have a lot of worldwide
right. That kind of doesn't fall into this discussion, because other countries use the term nurses, and we have VTSs and emergency critical care in other countries. So that
right. We'll leave that aside for now. But for 2019, in terms of applicants, there were 127 total applicants. 103 passed Part A, which is all of the background kind of stuff. Of those 103 applicants, 81 submitted Part B. And if you're not familiar, our application is now in two parts, where Part A is all the background, CE,
licensure,
all that kind of stuff.
Work hours, things like that.
Yeah, and Part B is case logs and case reports. So out of 103 that were approved for Part A, 81 actually submitted Part B. 57 of those 81 had their logs approved, but in total, 43 of the original 127 were approved to sit for the 2020 VTS ECC exam, or 43 of the ultimate 81
right.
that submitted the second part of their application. So I wanted to say a quick shout out to those 43 who were approved. Congratulations. This is a huge step. Frankly, now the real work begins.
Yes.
but to the remaining 84 who originally applied for Part A but ultimately were not approved to sit for the exam, I want to give you a special message, because please do not let this be the end of your journey. Maybe life happens. Like, maybe you didn't give the application as much as you wanted to this year because you had stuff going on in your life. Maybe you had no idea the scope of how big the application was or how it was involved. If you didn't already, I would highly, highly, highly recommend you ask the Academy for a mentor, because they will review your application. They'll review your case logs. They'll review your case reports. They'll help you find areas that you're deficient in. But please apply again for this coming year, because I promise you, it might be hard to see now, but you will only be a better technician or nurse, depending on where you are going forward. And your patients will only benefit from you going through this process. And it's probably, you know, sometimes applications are rejected for seemingly small things, but one way I would appeal to those that weren't approved, one thing that we really pay close attention to is attention to detail of the application, right? I mean, that's a huge part of our job, following orders as they're written, following prescriptions as they're written. Pay attention to what the application asks for. If it asks for a certain format, follow that format. If
there,
it asks
there are for no trick questions here, in the application.
Right. If it asks for a signature here, make sure you sign it. If it asks for you to have this percentage of tasks signed off on your task list, make sure that percentage of tasks are signed off on your task list. A lot of applications that ultimately get rejected are because the applicant really didn't pay attention to detail.
Yep.
And
give your application to somebody else, somebody that's not applying, somebody that's just a veterinarian, and say, can you look at this and make sure that I have everything that it says in the instructions? Yeah. And that's going to be, I can't tell you how many case reports I read this year where if they had just proofread and realized that there were spelling mistakes and you know, things that didn't come out right, it would have made such a difference just simply proofreading.
It does. And you know, when we say don't use trade names,
that was a huge one.
That's always places people slip up, and they try, and there are a couple, I won't mention the names because I don't want to get into that, but there are a couple that it's just names of drugs that we use every day. We don't ever call them by their generic names, but that's what we're looking for. And this doesn't just apply to the ECC Academy. It applies to all academies.
Right.
So whether you're doing internal medicine, surgery, anesthesia, oncology, whatever specialty it is, like especially when you're writing those case reports, like as you're writing that report, look at it as though you are going to be reading it in a veterinary medical journal.
Right.
Because ultimately that's what we're looking for, is not just that you know that case, but that you know that case inside and out, and that your writing style like reflects that level of a VTS. And if you're not a great writer, that's okay, but have somebody proofread it, have a mentor look at it and take a red pen to it. Don't be offended and just say, hey, I just need to get better in this, and keep working. That's all I would say, is keep working.
Trying.
If you didn't get approved this year, you're only going to be better for it. So I just wanted to say that too, real quick.
Sure. I feel like this is probably our longest episode.
And
we said the tap rooms are going to be the short ones where we just kind of talked about a topic, but this is, you know, easily longer than in any of the other episodes we've done. But I feel like this is a really important thing to bring up.
I think we both felt it was important to give this a lot of gravity. And again, this is not the end of the discussion. As hopefully you picked up on, Dave and I don't agree on all of these points, but we want to continue to have the discussion. And
email us.
Email us. Anybody that has a vested interest, whether you signed the petition, whether you wrote the petition, if you are on the NAVTA executive board, like reach out to us and let us be your voice and come on the show and say why you did this or why you believe that. Like, we would love to talk to you, because this is not the end of the discussion.
Nope, not at all.
This discussion is going to be ongoing long after I believe Dave and I are out of this field. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And we want to be a medium that we can just continue to have discussion. This is never going to be a debate format. This is never going to be you coming on the show and us asking you difficult questions and putting you in awkward positions or whatever. This is going to just be open discussion.
Yep.
So please feel free to reach out and let's talk.
Excellent.
Dave, what do you think?
I think that this was a good episode. I feel like we kind of dove right in and got through a lot of stuff, and hopefully we've at least brought to light some of the things that are in this petition and, you know, created discussion amongst people. So hopefully we'll make some change.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, everybody. Well, I want to say, if you're still listening, I know there was a lot of discussion, but we hope you maybe grabbed a second beer to finish up listening to the Vet Tech Tap Room today.
If I'd known it was going to be this long, I would have brought two up here.
I know my pint is dry and it's almost lunchtime, so I'm ready for another. But thank you, everybody,
for
listening today. And please comment on the post. Email us, reach out to us. Let's continue this discussion and we can keep talking about it. All right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for coming by the Vet Tech Tap Room, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, guys.